We're at the EERC today, world-class energy and environmental research center. Senator Hovind has a special guest. Who'd you bring with you today at this time?
Well, Secretary Chris Wright and his wife Liz is with us as well, and it's just an honor to have them. Nobody knows more about energy than Chris, and Liz knows an awful lot about energy, too.
I noticed she was asking some questions.
She knows her stuff. And, you know, they actually been involved in the Bakken through their former work with Liberty Energy, their company at that time. And so they were involved in cracking the code on the Bakken in the first go-around. They did mapping of the shale plays around the country. So they're very instrumental in making it happen the first time. And now, so he's back in a new role as Secretary of Energy, where we're trying to do crack the code, too, and connect our coal plants with the oil fields for enhanced oil recovery and not only extend the life of our, let's say, double or more the life of our coal-fired electric plants, but also we've gotten 5 billion barrels out of the Bakken, but we were at 1.5 million barrels a day. That's going down. We're 1.1 million today, and we want to take that back up and get not only 10 billion, but even more than that, barrels of oil out of the Bakken. And this guy, I know, we couldn't have a better person in the slot at DOE to help us do it.
Somebody said, I don't know who coined it, but I think it might have been Senator Hovind, this is going to be about crack the code 2.0.
Yes, crack the code 2.0.
There's going to be bumper stickers pretty soon with that, I think. So, Secretary Wright, nice to see you again.
Thrilled to be here. Appreciate your show and appreciate the great state of North Dakota and the incredible energy future it's got in front of them.
You've been here before, obviously. Your company is here, Senator Hovind said. I remember you keynoted the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference in Bismarck. But tell me a little bit about this place and what you think of North Dakota.
Well, North Dakota's got some great things going for it. And one of the, and maybe the start with the foundational ones, which is hardworking, independent, self-driving people. And then a government that reflects that, meaning a government that respects the interests of the citizens, their economic future, the cleanliness of their water and their air and all that, and looking long-term for the future. So it's simply been a great state to do business in. I both had my frac company, Liberty Energy, up here, and our exploration and production company, Liberty Resources, up here. And my partner in Liberty Resources, Mark Pearson, really incredibly important in the technological innovation that unlocked the fracking revolution to switch from natural gas to oil. That began here in North Dakota. And that led to the Bakken as North Dakota became the second largest oil producing state in the country, passing Alaska, passing Oklahoma and New Mexico and everybody but Texas. And that's because of the environment here, the people here, of course, the underground resources, but those exist a lot of places. It's the surface things. And Senator Hovind here has been the champion of, all right, we did it first. We brought the shale revolution to oil. Now we got to bring enhanced oil recovery to oil. So the shale revolution is not a 30 or 40 year phenomenon. It's an 80 or 100 plus year phenomenon. And I'm behind him 100% in that endeavor.
We happen to be in a building today that is probably doing the most world-class research related to enhanced oil recovery. Our state legislature, which you met some of the folks today from, have plussed up the research budget by, I don't know, 10x maybe, $25 million to try and move that timeline up further. When do you believe, as someone that's been in the business, that EOR, assuming you have all the ability to go downhole with different CO2 or whatever, when's it going to be viable? When's it going to pencil out for industries?
So, of course, the honest answer is we don't know, but I would say my strong suspicion is in the next 5 years, I hope it's the next 3 years, we're going to have experimented enough and figured out the right formula and the right supply mechanisms to make the math work. We spend X dollars for enhanced oil recovery, and we get 2, 3, 4X times more dollars back from increased oil recovery. Look, America's innovative. The oil and gas industry is maybe the leaders in innovation. So can we figure this out? Yes, we can figure this out. I should also mention the Assistant Secretary for Fossil Energy, not yet voted on by the full Senate, but again, Senator Hovind's going to fix that problem here soon, is a fantastic NODACer named Kyle Housefight. Grew up on a farm in the area of the Bakken themselves. Kyle is one of the leading technology pioneers on enhanced oil recovery in shales. in his commercial job. He's four young kids living in Oklahoma City, a top job at Devon Energy. He's decided to suspend all of that and come to D.C. because he believes in this mission of Bakken 2.0 and shale recovery 2.0. Kyle's going to be a tremendous leader in that. And I can't believe that the leadership we have in the Department of Energy, the great commercial businesses, and the common sense governance in North Dakota together, yeah, we're going to figure it out.
We'll save the nomination problem for another day, but I know that there's some discussion about changing rules, and there's been some challenges related to getting your lieutenants in spot. But are you going to change the rules this quickly?
Yeah, one of the first things we do when we get back is we're going to change the rules so we can get these key people in these key positions.
All right. I want to ask you a little bit about this place and the role they are playing. I mentioned, obviously, they're doing enhanced oil recovery, but they've been world-class on coal. I mean, just this place has an enormous history. Remember Tom Clifford? Make sure he rescued it when the Department of Energy actually owned this facility at the beginning. But just give me a little sense of what you saw today and what you believe they can do here.
Oh, great scientists here at the EERC in Grand Forks. Great scientists. And one thing you can tell about the culture of an organization, a number of the scientists I've met here have been here 20 plus years. They came here as eager, smart folks straight out of graduate school, just fell in love with the place and stayed here. When you have great people in an organization, it brings more great people into an organization. And of course, this organization here has worked on the big picture problems in life, not the fad problems or the little problems, right? It began on coal. Coal is what introduced the modern world. It's still today's largest source of electricity on the planet, by far, by the way, and third largest and critically important source of electricity in the United States. It's been working on coal for 74 years. Added oil and gas, added next generation oil and gas. Looking at different combustion technologies, how to burn oil and gas cleaner, how to look at biofuels and modern biofuels. So it's worked on the big problems that power our country, the big problems that'll assure a better future here. So great humans, great culture, working on the right problems.
Senator Hovind, I know you would elbow me if we didn't talk about how the CO2 needed for the enhanced oil recovery and the research they're doing could first come from North Dakota. Obviously, there's been challenges in getting CO2 here. I want to ask him how much CO2 we're going to eventually need, but I'm going to ask you, do we know how much CO2 would come off our coal plants and our ethanol plants?
Yeah, about 30 million tons would come off our coal plants. And the key is we need to get that going, because this is about both doubling the life of those coal plants and maybe even building some more. Think about that.
China does.
Absolutely, right on. And we have addressed SOx, NOx, mercury, all these things. We're the ones now to take CO2, which is a useful commodity, and use it for EOR. And as the Secretary said, maybe combine it with some of the gas liquids and other things we produce. Again, this is why we can do it before anybody. And think of the need for electricity for all these things now. So we've got to have this baseload. So this is a twofer. This is about making sure we maintain that baseload electricity for the long term with our incredible coal resource, as well as doubling the production in the Bakken.
And ethanol, right? I mean, we don't have a ton of ethanol plants.
We're the first place in the country to already be doing it, like Red Trail, for example.
Sequestering, obviously, but we don't want to sequester
it. We want it for EOR.
Yeah, exactly. And so my point on this is, he's right, we've got a lot of it here. Between our ethanol plants, rather than sequestering it, put it in a pipe and get it to the Bakken, and obviously then the coal plants, as he's talking about. But I believe they would tell us here they need a lot more than what we currently have available. We're going to need other states and going to bring CO2 from elsewhere. Am I right?
Yeah, if enhanced oil recovery became Bakken-wide, it might use as much as 100 million tons a year. As Senator pointed out, there's already today 30 million tons a year going out coal flues. But that's today. There's enormous coal reserves in North Dakota. There's expansion of existing facilities that are already going on. There's new natural gas production facilities. There's coal gasification that's already done nearby that could be done here. So I think we've got to crack the code for the technology. And if we do that, the sources of carbon dioxide can come from North Dakota. They could come from elsewhere as well. But I wouldn't rule out just massive sources of CO2 right here in North Dakota.
Got it. Let's talk about another thing. You gushed a little bit on North Dakota, and I don't know where you're going next, but they're probably going to give you grief that you said North Dakota is the best governed state in America. And I know in the first administration, first go-around of, rather, of President Trump, North Dakota received EPA primacy. So obviously that probably contributes to why you say it's the best governed state, because they actually can govern it here. But just quickly, how are you able to say we're the best governed state in North in the United States?
It's just simply the track record. It's a state that's always put its citizens first. And most of its citizens are rural farmers spread across the state. Of course, there's urban populations as well. But it's made decisions in the best interests of its citizens, which means it's been a great state to do business in. It's evolved regulations rapidly. It's welcomed capital and people to this state. You know, I say if you got a city of San Francisco, it's a tourist attraction. Everyone in the world's going to go there, no matter how bad you govern. And when everyone's going to go there, no matter what, you get bad governance. Look at New York City. Look at San Francisco. These places are governed horrifically.
Minnesota, next door.
Minnesota. North Dakota, least visited state in the country. You got to make it compelling to bring investment dollars into North Dakota, and they've continually done it. They've driven their per capita income up from among the lowest in the country to among the highest in the country. The last 20 years of governance in North Dakota, I think, is a textbook classroom cases. This is how you should run a government. I think President Trump brought that same mentality to Washington, D.C. We're going to do common sense. We're going to shoot down the nonsense. We're going to bring common sense. We're going to be bold and lean in when changes need to be made. We're going to think about Americans first and make our country better, bring prosperity to our country and peace abroad. The one big, beautiful bill. What drove that? That's common sense from our president, from the Senate, and from the House. That's bringing elements of North Dakota governance to the United States. And of course, some of the leaders in doing that were the North Dakota representatives in the House and the Senate in passing the One Big Beautiful Bill. So many things in that bill that remove the nonsense, allow the production of our coal resources, our oil resources, our natural gas resources, get rid of a lot of wasteful subsidies that have driven up energy prices for Americans. Unleash American ingenuity, unleash American energy. A tremendous piece of legislation passed with narrow majorities because of common sense leadership driven by conviction and principle.
And I would argue you gave a lot of credit to our governors over the years. Obviously, Senator Schaefer, it started then, Senator Hoeven after him.
Dalrymple.
Jack Dalrymple. I almost forgot Jack. And then, of course, Kelly now. After Doug. Forget Doug, but they've all done a great job in that regard. And Senator Cramer, his junior senator, likes to say hell is pretty much frozen over because oil, coal, and ethanol actually all get along now. So I agree with you that that doesn't happen in many places. I got to ask you about one other thing because they're telling me we got to wrap pretty quick here, but wind. I know some subsidies were reduced in the one big bill, the production tax credit. I'm hearing conflicting things on how much the wings of wind have been clipped. Initially, there was a lot of spiking of the football. Thankfully, that's gone away. Now I'm hearing that Senator Grassley managed to get some extension on that. Is wind done with federal subsidies once this window ends?
Well, all the federal subsidies for wind, solar, and batteries, the wind subsidies are 33 years old. So, yes, they're going to come to an end, but it was done in a professional, business-like manner. There's a ramp down for projects that are under construction or soon to get going, and then these will end. But they've been there for 33 years. But I think a professional compromise was reached to bring them to the end during President Trump's term, but to respect the projects that are underway today.
We're going to end with a trivia question. Are you up for that?
I guess I am.
Senator Hoeven, are you up for a trivia question?
Sure.
Okay. How many years of economically recoverable coal does North Dakota have? A is 700 years, B is 800 years, and C is 900 years.
Well, it is 800 years. Dwyer used to say 900, and my info sheet said 700, but they corrected me, and they're saying now officially, I think from Lignite Energy Council, 800.
He says B. What do you say?
So I'm going to say D, vastly more than 1,000 years. These estimates that are done are always based on what we know about technology and where the reserves are. The real resources underground are just massively larger than that. I'm going to say the answer is going to be in the thousands of years.
That's why he's the energy secretary, because he actually knows.
Well, what's funny about that statement is I was going to joke that President Trump at Cold Day at the White House said it was 900, and he always manages to go a little over, so you've outdone him. You better tell him it's more than 900. 900, okay?
I will. He's as passionate about energy as I am. And America is the better for that. America is for the better for President Trump's understanding about energy, his appreciation for his energy, and his all-in nature to unleash American energy and opportunity.
Yeah, those cabinet meetings are epic. So we'll see another one soon, I'm sure, and appreciate you and your service to this country. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. God bless you. Love the state. Love the work you do.
Senator Hovind, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, and Mr. Secretary, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.